Yes, indeed. Voice of the Cape, Drive Time. Welcome back to the show. The Institute for Justice and Reconciliation today hosted a webinar on the state of democracy in South Africa. Nearly a generation has gone since South Africa's first elections in 1994, blah, blah, blah. So how healthy is the country's democracy, and what are South Africans seeing in terms of democracy, specifically their attitude towards political participation? Online is Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director, Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN. Dr. Paul Kariuki, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
And they say good afternoon back to you. So how did the webinar go in terms of perceptions? It's dealing with some pertinent questions. I think the most pertinent one is attitude towards political participation.
Exactly, you're right. There is a lot of apathy as far as that is concerned based on the data that was presented. And you can tell that we've been on a slippery note since probably the last 10 years in terms of expectations from the citizenry, and what they have received so far does not measure up as far as promise for better life. And it was really a great talking point in terms of what has contributed to that. Some of the things that were mentioned that have contributed to that perception based on the survey is poor accountability, lack of performance, especially at the municipal level, in as far as delivery of basic services is concerned, and of late the corruption pandemic. And that has really beleaguered our country. And this was not just because it was done pre-COVID. This has been an ongoing situation based on the data. It's good to notice that the data was actually collected pre-COVID. And so the perception that were being presented was what was captured from the survey as beginning of the year. And also the issue of politicization of basic delivery that has also become a talking point. And it's all adding up to the disillusionment that is now among citizens at the point.
So did the webinar come up with any kind of suggestions, any ways of looking at things going forward, any solutions?
Some of the things that we spoke that are possibilities that we should consider as a nation and as a citizenry especially is that, number one, democracy must be lived as an experience. It cannot be a conceptual issue. And therefore, we all have a part to play, the state and the citizenry and political parties at the same time. And one of the ways to participate is to recognize that we have deviated from the path that we were on from 1994 at the time of transition into new democracy, and the transition period that led to establishment of institutions to support the democracy to deliver. But what have happened in the last decade is almost a deterioration of the same promises that we espouse. The principles have become almost like non-existence. And therefore, the one solution was that the state need to reconstruct itself again with the citizenry and return back to the principles that we all espoused in 1994 as we ushered in the new democracy dispensation. Return to the rule of law and force law in terms of arresting corruption, for example, as one of the risk factors that is threatening sustainability of the democracy we have. The second thing that we spoke about was to encourage every citizen to participate in elections. There was a notation that in last year's elections, almost 9 million people absconded from voting because of the difficulties that they experienced with the government delivering on its promises and saying that, you know what, political parties do not serve them, politicians do not serve them, then why vote? We are saying you cannot do that. In a democracy, you still have a voice, and we cannot let the destiny of the country to rest on the hands of politicians. It's we, the citizens, that need to play our part and ask ourselves big questions such as, why do we actually go to vote? We do not go to vote because of political party. You vote for a political party that carries aspirations that you believe as a citizen you should expect from a government. And therefore, if that is not working, then you have a chance to vote another party. You cannot stay at home and don't vote, because that is failing your democracy responsibility as a citizen. And the third thing we talked about was to continue holding government and political parties to account for the decisions they continually make. We cannot be pointing fingers and we are not doing what we should be as citizens. Participate actively from the ward level up to national level if you have that chance. And we have to, for example, as citizens, to get involved in our local councils in terms of watching how budgets are planned, how budgets are expended, and ask questions where things do not make sense. In other words, so what we are saying is that we need to see a little more of active citizenship rather than hitting the responsibility back to political parties and politicians and government, and allow them to do what they do best when no one is watching.
One of the key points you've just made, and I think this is reflective of most South Africans, you said in terms of the webinar, a return to the rule of law. And I think one could sort of tack onto that the law seemed to work, particularly with regards to the issue of corruption. I mean, corruption has become such a big talking point because it is a big point. It does seem to me, judging by what you've said, perhaps that the feeling is that if corruption can be addressed in a responsible legal way, then that will empower citizens to feel more confident, I think, about holding the political establishment to account. Because I think the feeling right now is that when you try and hold the political establishment to account, they will punish low-hanging fruit, but the big boys or the big girls always walk away.
Definitely. So corruption is actually one of the biggest things that has actually led to that disillusionment, because if you think about it, the experience that we have seen lately in the last 3 to 5 years is a surge in civil protests. And this has become like a norm. In fact, at some stage, I think we were ranking among the highest countries in the world with the number of protests per day. That because there is the discouragement around poor basic service delivery, and based on what the Auditor General's report was released a month ago, it's because there has been a poor mismanagement of public resources that have eaten into capacities of municipalities to offer these services and provide these public goods sustainably and equitably to everyone. So if we can arrest the issue of corruption, and citizens see that there is decisive action from government, then there will be perhaps a restoration of public trust, that there is commitment and political will to get back onto our rails. So long as that aspect of corruption is not taken care of, there will be continued less faith in electoral politics in the country. And 2021 is a very big opportunity for the citizenry to really exercise the power of their vote.
Now, I think 2021 is certainly going to be very interesting.
Yes.
Did the webinar have a look at the age demographics? Because of the 9 million who did not pitch up at the polls last time round, yes, if I'm not mistaken, a significant percentage of that 9 million would have been under the age of 35.
Definitely. And so, yes, there should be targeted conversations with that demography in terms of encouraging them not to continue participating in democratic processes and as well as in elections. However, there was also a balancing comment around making them also see that the government is serious in addressing these issues. The disillusionment with them is that they have come in at a time when the country is also beleaguered with significant socioeconomic challenges. And unfortunately, they are the brunt of those socioeconomic challenges. When you talk about the unemployment level in the country, for instance, the majority of the demography is the one who is highly impacted. When you talk about skills development, the majority of them is that demography. So it's like in every aspect that would enhance the quality of their lives, generally, it's already affected. So for them to build up faith in the current political structures and electoral politics, they have to see tangible change in delivery of those aspirations that they desire to see in their own lives so that they can make their lives better. They have come from a generation of their parents who were seriously and severely disenfranchised under the apartheid system. Now, in 1994, majority of them were still not able to grasp these things. But now, they are able to see that even now, what their parents suffered and endured is what they are also suffering. And it was a very powerful comment to be brought forth that there has to be a way to motivate them so that you can build trust that electoral politics do really work and work in favor of citizens. Only when they can experience that democracy, then you can be able to encourage them to vote.
Indeed. Interesting questions being asked. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director, DDP, Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Thanks for chatting to us about the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation hosting a webinar on the state of democracy in South Africa. Stay safe.
Thank you so much, Shafiq.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cut.